clergy may say, time has come for us to stop worrying, because some of us worry about dying every day, and you can only die once. So let us cease from our worryings and lay aside all these heavy weights that have held us back and go forward with me. I'm going to speak absolutely more and more and tell you of the assurance of wherein I stand and wherein I speak. For I know where I'm going better than anybody in the universe. I am saying to the world, damn the torpedoes of capitalism, their newspapers. Damn the torpedoes of religious systems that will try to put our light out. Damn their jails. Damn their assassin bullets. Damn whatever torpedo they have. I say full speed ahead. We can only go to jail once. We can only go to an electric chair once. And I'm going to tell you, I have no intention to take you through an electric chair or a gas chamber. I'm going to bring you through victorious in life and victorious in the death of the great transition. I will have my way. Spirit of God, body of God, socialism. So you just look out. We're going to be absolutely much more determined. I've been too humble. I've held back trying to see others go forward, looking for someone to stand in the gap of the hedge. I have tried to reduce myself as a person, but there's no way that you can reduce the center and circumference of the universe. I am the only fully socialist. I am the only fully God. So I'm now on the scene. I'm going to project myself. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to declare myself. And if you can't stand the heat, as Harry Truman said, you better get out of the kitchen, because I'm going to stir up more fires than you have ever seen in all your life. I'm going to stir up more tornadoes than you have ever heard of. I'm going to establish a hurricane. I'm going to shake the whole nation with my spirit and my mind socialism. I'm going to shake the whole creation. Everything we do will be radical. Every step we do will be radical. Every time they oppose us, we'll be like a bunch of wild cats on a hot tin roof. Every time they touch us, we're going to fight. We have had plenty of heat. We've had plenty of warmth. We've had the love of each other. We've seen our beautiful children. We've looked upon the faces of 1,000 angels. I shook hands with over 1,300 people today before I and the staff quit counting. So we have hundreds of beautiful things that have come to our life. We've eaten the best of food. We've had the loveliest trips. We've taken vacations down to the ocean of Mexico and up into the wilds of Canada. So now, child, we've had our moment. We don't care what you give us. You better look out, because when you come to attack us or oppose us, we're going to fight like hell. You've been concerned about the Black Panthers and the White Panthers, but we're going to be more than the Black Panthers, White Panthers, Green Panthers, and Red Panthers, all wrapped up in one. Look out, injustice, wherever you are. Look out, old landlords and capitalist class, whoever you oppress, whether it be in Wounded Knee or Harlem, whether it be in Madison Avenue or in Watts. Look out, child. Wherever someone is hungry, wherever someone's impoverished, wherever someone faces jail sentences, wherever my people are in prison, look out, because I'm going to shake the jails. I'm going to shake the creation. This is the avant-garde, the advanced class, and we're going to move forward. There's no way to look back. Put blinders on now. Quit letting your thoughts bother you. Intellectualism is the greatest defeating force. Don't let your own mind of self-preservation try to destroy you. Don't think about what will happen if you venture for faith. You know this faith is right. You know it is God, and you know it is beautiful. So don't take any thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for what you shall wear. Take no thought for what you shall put on. I have commanded you in the sonship degree to go into the prisons and bring them out. I have commanded you to feed the hungry. I have commanded you to give water to the thirsty. I have commanded you to let the captives go free. I have commanded you to fight against capitalism from the beginning of time. And now I say, put your blinders on and go forward. Spirit. Remember the beautiful things we've shared. Remember the tender kisses and the warmth we've had for each other. Remember that we've loved like none have loved. And we've known the beauty of honesty and sincerity as none others have known it. So now, having all that treasure hid in earthen vessels, we're able to proceed in a high vibration. So don't consider that things are going to be easy, but they're not going to be boring. From this time forward, it'll not be boring. Because we're not going to wait for our enemies to come to us. We're going to go and shake their nest. When I was once a basketball star, I never liked to be on the defensive. It was always bad to let a team take the offensive. But when I would take the offensive and move forward as a forward and dribble about and get just that certain sense of drive and perspective for that silly little game, I could win games one after another. Hardly would ever lose a game when I was on the offensive. And we've been waiting for our enemies always to make their move. Now, enemies, watch out. Watch out. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise in the earth. Oh, now let... We're picketing on the behalf of someone that is being oppressed, not in our group, but we are fastly seeing them come to our group. And we want you to do whatever you're bidden to do. We have not been emphasizing overly much the physical healing today, although one woman with a hand that was like this was healed. Another woman danced that was paralyzed on her side.
Yes, yes.
What a glorious witness to see her dance and move that arm that was crippled. And the man there at the door that couldn't even raise his right hand raised it. It was marvelous to see the cancer healed of the brother back there. He sits in the back row of prostate. It was so wonderful to see those things. But now we want to heal the cancers of mind, the cancers that have oppressed us all too long. I will say that I wish Sister Bryant a cloth to be placed. By words she has written someplace that she is a soldier in the army of God because I raised her from the dead. Her pulse was gone, her heart was gone, and I've got to keep that heart built. Where is that? Where is this woman? Place it on the chest and place it, as I said, by the words. And she must speak to Sister Mary Levine and tell her of this truth. And that'll take care of it. She was dead today and I brought her back. Hands clasped. Someone that knows a Sharon Kiesling. Who is it knows Sharon Kiesling in this house? All right. This cloth must be placed on you. Now the time has come for you to join us, socialist comrade. Get in fully, we need you, because this has saved your life. That cloth being on your body would save you from a tragic accident. Keep it now. That God, you know you told me nothing of your affairs. You've told no one of this lady, have you? Yes. So just like one little thing, because I don't have to give you much, the principle is most important. Just keep the principle uppermost in your mind. And his enemies be scattered, let God arise. And his enemies be scattered, let God arise. And his enemies be scattered, let God arise in the earth. Oh, let God.
garlic got a rush, and his enemies be scattered. The garlic got a rush, and his enemies be scattered. Let garlic got a rush, and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise in the earth.
It's all right.
And his enemies be scattered.
That I call James, just also give the message of this truth to Janice about socialism, and let it fall where it will. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Mm-hmm. What? That's another one. I'm telling you another one. I know Sharon Kiesling. I know that. But I'm telling you another now. My hands, just keep on standing. Don't move. Don't move. When you're standing in a position, don't move. Who lives on Denker? 9450 Denker. 9450 Denker Street. Hands class. Hands class. Hands class. Everyone reaching out in faith.
Thank you, Father.
Do you know Gertrude Mitchell?
Yes, I do.
She had a cancer of the throat.
Yes.
She had a patient. She dealt with who had a cancer of the throat.
Yes.
This entire family died of cancer.
Yes. She's my husband's aunt.
This person was in the hospital 3 days before he died. He asked candy from Gertrude.
Oh, yes.
She went and got some and returned and found him dead.
Yes.
I want to give you the faith that you can have. 8 years ago, you were paralyzed by stroke and you have had
yes,
that condition.
Yes.
I want you to live on it. 8 long years ago. I know nothing of your life.
No.
You've lived in Los Angeles for 26 years.
Yes, I have.
You were born in Mendon, Louisiana.
That's right,
30 miles
Baba.
On the other side of Shreveport.
Yes, yes.
You have no children.
No.
Your husband was a foreman in the shipyards at San Pablo and worked there for 25 years.
San Pedro. Yes, Father.
He has 202 people working under him or had. Name was Cliff or something like that. I think they called him on the job.
Yes.
Now, my child, I've given you this. You've got trouble in your own throat. You're unable to walk with this stroke. I want you now to bolt out of there. Bolt out of there. Go, go. Spirit of God. Go, 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 go. Spirit, go. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Just as normal as she has the first time in 8 years today, and I want her to keep it. I want her to keep it. Do you hear me? We're going to be determined now. We've seen too much. We've done this time and again. We've crippled the paralyzed. We've crippled those that were paralyzed with fear, and we've delivered those that were crippled from the paralysis of capitalism. We've lifted those that were bound by the capitalists, and we've set them free to be healed. We've done this too many times. We can unseat the oppressors. I said we can unseat the oppressors.
Yes. Yes.
Good God, just spit that growth out and know that the God of your salvation has come. He can and he will, and he actually does satisfy every good desire. Don't you know
the spirit of the consciousness of the presence of God is the source of all supply?
Praising people. Look at her running around there, shaking hands with people, hugging them.
There's the cancer that she spit up. I want to tell you, wear everything you've got as a loose garment. If I've given you houses, wear them loosely. If I've given you cars, if I've given you communes, businesses, all of our beautiful things, wear them loosely. Because the only people that can have real peace are those that are free to take on the battle at any moment for capture. So wear the world as a loose garment. Wear this old rotten, stench-ridden, racist America as a loose garment. Don't be afraid to walk out in the street, and if they want to start something, to be able to finish it right tonight. Spirit! Now you see, that makes your blood feel better. That makes your lungs feel better. That makes your heart feel better. That makes your mind free. Spirit. Living is a dull business if you're going to live it like a scared rabbit. Living is a dull business if you're going to run scared like a rabbit. But if you're going to be free, free as a great deer, free as one of those that'll run right out in the face of their enemy and look at him, at least you're free for the moment. So be free and enjoy this great salvation. Enjoy the honesty of forwardness for socialism. Spirit of God, mind of God, you look at her. 8 long years paralyzed. 8 long years. Look at her getting around. 8 long years. You better praise. You better praise.
Thank you. Thank you.
So glad. So glad, God Almighty. So glad, God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about that. You never saw a man that could speak out to a woman 8 years and say, bolt out of there. I think I said, bolt. I think I said, bolt out of there, though she was paralyzed. You've never seen a man could do that. Then is it too much to ask from you to get out of those old churches? Stay out of them. You're committing adultery when you do that to me. You're breaking my heart because they've crucified me. They're the ones that would nail me to the cross. Don't ever do it. Look at her, how beautiful, getting around. Look at that hand straightened out now. That hand was all paralyzed too. Good God, 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 good God.
I'm a socialist today. I'm a socialist today. I'm a socialist by the way. I'm a socialist today. I'm a socialist today, and I'm glad. I'm a socialist today, and I'm glad. Oh, what a socialist father we have. Well, we were out in the world when Papa brought us in. What a socialist father. In this world when our father brought us in, what a socialist father we had. What a socialist father we had. Dancing that was dead. I see this sister, broken leg out there dancing. See the sister over here dancing on my right that was dead. Dancing like school children. What you talking about?
Yes.
What are you talking about? It's been so mighty. It's been so mighty. It's been so mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet. I wonder if this day could be any better. Couldn't have been any better. But we're going to make them better and better. You're welcome. Can't help but get turned on to socialism every now and then. Good God. Good God. Good God. Good God. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So glad. So glad. I'll meet you downstairs. I'm going to ask you, rather than take up any time for this joyous occasion,
Each of you will have your offering in hand, a special love offering at the end of the day. I'm going to be at the stairs to again minister to you, not to receive the offering. That's important that we have our funds, but that's not the reason. I want to give you plenty of energy for tomorrow. So if I don't mind shaking hands with several hundred and over 1,000, 1,300 that we counted this morning, and then we quit counting, certainly you can shake my hand. It may delay things a little bit. It's only now 20 of 9. They will come up, I suppose, take care of transportation and housing at the same time. Not housing, that's over with, just a little bit of transportation. So the housing problem's over. Remember, Wednesday night I have a very special film. Don't move. No one move out now. It's a very special film that I wish you to see. Midweek service in Redwood Valley. Make your plans to go on with us, as many as possible. I'm looking, and I want others to notice who participates in these meetings, and those that never go abroad with us to our precious Los Angeles Assembly, and those that stay outside so frequently, out in the high aisles and the halls. I looked out and saw people playing with the dog out the window. I can always know where you are, and I watch where you go and talk to you, and I think it's important that all of us get in these days to be a solid, united front, solid family, a working family, that we can be able to be prepared. We've got a big adventure starting tomorrow. As I said, if you're contacted about picketing, you do it. I have instructed it. We're going to go forward. We're going to take on the issues. We're not going to let them pick the issues. We're going to pick the issues. So I'm asking everyone, some of you that could give 5, 10, or 20, or even 100, please do it tonight. We need it. It's short in that way financially, but it's not short any other way, and we're sure that every one of you will give at least a dollar. We're trusting that as we come down. Greet everyone with a holy kiss now, as I would kiss each of you if I could, because I love you with all my soul. So glad. See you downstairs. Oh, hold it for me. We couldn't even set up at 2 years of age from starvation. My son Lou's an our fine young man in school, and a gentleman, a gentle, good little boy. Young man, though, he's not a little boy anymore. He had nothing but rice water from the time he was born, and little leafy vegetable, the leafy leaves off of some vines, till he was 18 months of age. Tonight, across the world, Sister Jones, as you know, the mother of this church, and you do a disservice when you don't come to her meetings. She has great power, faith, because she was an invalid, would never have been able to walk again until she gave up that Methodist church and all that religion. Came down to that. I said, you'll have to trust that the only God that there is right here before you to help you. She said, I believe it. And when I first married her, it was a cross to her. Because I'd stand up and speak against the racial injustice in the church and got thrown out. And the poor woman, her father being the superintendent of the church, he'd just like to tear her up. She believed in all that sky God. But now you heard her say Wednesday night, he healed me when no one could heal me. Raised me up. Now she works every day. 300 miles she drives every day and comes to you every Sunday. Tonight, today she's in Los Angeles. When her back was severed from spinal deterioration, not just a spinal ailment, but wasting away of the spine. Now she's so strong that she carried a black woman out of a cheap convalescent hospital that was mistreating her. And she put her over her shoulders because the bed sores were so bad that she would carry her this way, the skin would have fallen off her body. And she had that much strength, as you know, to carry her out and save her. And it really shows a lack of concern. When she drives 300 miles a day and is an inspector of hospitals, she makes more money in this church than any woman and puts it back into the work and then comes every weekend. And it's a shame when you're not with me in Los Angeles and you're not here. It's a shame. You won't find any woman any better than that woman. Adopted our children when our black baby was first adopted. They spit on her, spit on the baby, fought her, stoned her. She held her head up high and never once wavered, not an inch. As Mother Letourneau and Sister Edith Cordell and some of the old-timers can say, she went through the battle of Ku Klux Klan territory and she never once
bowed her head. She held it up high. And it's a shame that you won't give her the respect that you give me. Time ought to come if you don't go with us to Los Angeles, and we ought to always try to have these big rallies. She wants it that way, so that each place I'm present there's a large number. That shows the enemy that we are together. But it also shows the enemy we're not together when you that don't go stay at home and don't get here and support her. And the time ought to come, either you go one place or the other if you want all the blessings of this house. But through all that, her Methodist father superintendent has given up God in the sky. If I could convince him that there was no sky God, even though he's got a long way to go to get over material things, he won't go to church. He got the conviction that God is within. The only God there is within. I would not eliminate God from the scene in the terms of an abstract idea if it was not that wherever God is worshipped blindly and superstitiously, freedom's light goes out. Fascism took over Italy, the center, the seat of the Catholic Church. Communism and fascism threatening, fascism particularly threatening to take Italy again, the seat of the Catholic Church. Chile, stronghold of Pentecostalists, the bloodiest dictatorship tonight, where people are being tortured. Women are being given the most unmentionable tortures. You ought to read the papers to see what's happening to them. Anyone that disagrees. Strong religious center in South Korea. Spoke of a woman minister the other day in South Korea that they ran a spike into her vagina. And the men ran it back and forth. That goes on all the time. That device was on this very boat that docked out here in our harbor. And yet the prostitutes were the only ones that concerned themselves about liberty enough to get out and protest the presence of that heinous boat. America is dying because it's lost its love of liberty. If one person loses their liberty, then everyone is in danger. I say again, it ought to be on our walls, and I've asked before for it to be so, and it's not there yet. The evangelist Niemöller in Germany, when the communists were taken away, he said, I didn't worry about that. I always had no use for communists because they didn't believe in God. It came after the Jews. He said, I didn't worry much about that because the Jews, we had always been taught, had been responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. So they came after the trade unions, and he said, I had a good job as a pastor. I didn't have to worry about that, so I didn't do anything. They came after the Catholic workers finally. He said, I always had been taught that the Catholic Church was a great whore, and I did nothing about that. He said, then finally I said one little thing wrong, and Hitler's stormtroopers came after me, and there was nobody left to speak out for me. Say, I am not interested in protecting communists. You better be. For when a communist loses their right to speak, it may be the John Bircher next day. This house of America must be free for all to express themselves nonviolently, or we're in trouble. And I can give you count after account that I've already given you of people that are in prison today for nothing more than their political ideas. It's interesting to note, and I will close with this, the man that was arrested that invented Parkinson's law, Dr. Parkinson, he was arrested last week and nobody did anything about it. His secretary was a Christian scientist. I called up and offered my help. She said, no one's called. She said, he feels like committing suicide. He was in his office at the time they accused him of a crime. It was all over your paper that Dr. Parkinson, the head of the national chairman of the Republican Party, was arrested, supposedly having his mouth on the genitalia, on the penile organ of an officer, a homosexual. His reputation is ruined. And you went right on about your life. Did you know that just a week before, he had protested Rockefeller's appointment and said he would have no more to do with the Republican Party? You mean that they do that? Do you mean they do it? They have done it to so many of my people. It's so much of practice, I've had to get them out. And the only way they would have smeared us, we told them that if you do this to any of our people, we'll protest like we did that examiner when that man wanted to crush us. And we marched till they fired him. You've got to stand up for liberty. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And if you won't stand up for it, you'll lose it. And a lot of people in this room don't have enough concern about liberty unless it's yours. And if it's your liberty that you're concerned about, it'll be too late when they come for you. Because all those that stood for liberty will be gone. That's why people wonder why we get our money in support of a John Bircher who has been arrested for practicing Laetril remedy for cancer. We're concerned when anyone loses their liberty. That's why we're concerned when Miss Davis was pounded and persecuted, because anyone's liberty is our liberty. You can't separate it. Freedom of speech means freedom for all or freedom for none. And you better protect it with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Any last concluding remark before we proceed into the healing aspects of the service? Thing that concerns me gravely about this church is that many of you would not be here if it were not for healings. Make it a question about something of a civil libertarian, or a question concerning freedom or justice, or something that is not proper in our compassionate work where we could improve it. Let's don't get off on a vision or a dream or delusion, illusion or something like that, because I'm telling you, I've had enough of it. I've had enough of it till I can hardly stand it anymore. I don't know why people... I know the meeting's a little long. I hope all of you've got excusable reasons for leaving. We've been long, normally, until I got back from the Promised Land weeks, we got out at 2:30, and we will continue that again. But we've got to get an understanding where we are. I want you to understand me. I'm telling you that when 2 out of 3 babies go to bed hungry, I worship nothing in the sky. You say a devil was made by God, and he is the reason that all the people are sick. Well, why did the God that was omniscient, omnipotent, omnilucent, omnipresent, with all that intelligence, why did he make a devil? Makes no sense. And then the most beautiful angel turned out to be the devil that led 1/3 of his angels astray. And the Bible itself has all sorts of contradictions. All you have to do is pick up the book that I've given to you freely. You can read it. Thomas Paine told you about it. The founder of this country, he warned people about superstitions, worshiping Bibles. He said, you won't love liberty if you worship unknown gods. Paul told you not to worship an unknown God. Paul himself said, don't worship an unknown God. My contention is, when people are caught up in religion, they'll always say, like I just mentioned about the torturing, just mentioned about the one that was in jail that we helped, that was being persecuted, the Lord will take care of them. If they are meant to be free, the Lord will free them. That is the cheapest excuse I ever heard from a yellow-bellied coward. It's not in the Bible, but why did your grandparents tell you God helps those that help themselves? Why does everyone in every church quote that, and it's no Bible on earth? God helps those that help themselves. What it really means, if you get any help, you'll help yourself. Because the people that get the shaft all the time, before you knew me, we've had no deaths of anyone in my presence that hasn't been resurrected. But how many of you lost a child before you knew me? You know the pain of losing a child? Look at the hands in this room. Now, if God loved us and wanted to share something with us, why did all these mothers and fathers lose their children before they were grown? How many here lost your mother before you were grown up? My goodness. How many lost your father before you were grown up? Do you know the hell of that? Some of us do. Eating mush and greens. Some of the people I've healed, the sister I healed, raised from the dead, paid her way back from where she was in a hospital that wouldn't receive her in Chicago because she was black. She'd been a slave, treated like a dog all of her life. Sister here that I raised that was paralyzed, lost all of her children, one after another, in the cotton fields because they wouldn't let her take time. They'd drop out like, there she is. She was paralyzed, and I healed her from a stroke. All of her babies dropped in the cotton fields. Nobody would even give her time or mercy. Oh, that's only two. I could tell you some stories here that would break your heart. Your stories, you've all got them. Why do you do as Paul said? Why are you so superstitious that you worship an unknown God? Jesus said, worship what you see. Ye all are gods. These things shall you do in greater because I go to the Father, or I return into life or into energy. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the only God there is. And that's the truth today as it was yesterday. Someone will stand here and say, well, how did something come out of nothing? I don't care how something came out of nothing. I know that buzzard feces comes out of a buzzard, but I'm not hunting for a buzzard. The buzzards that sit around our property, it used to bother our children. I'll say that in closing. That will be it, finally. That will be the truth. We have no animals even die in our place. It's a miraculous sort of thing. Life, energy, purpose is a remarkable therapy. Even the old goat must be 20 years old. Geese, 12, 15 years of age, don't die. They just keep on living. The old buzzards used to fly over and wait and watch, and they quit flying over all of our church property. But there was one that was more patient than others. He sat back at the end of the property on the railroad trestle, looking out, hoping something finally would die in that Jones family. And the children once said, Father, how did we get here if there wasn't a God? I said, well, I could explain to you some things about combustion and energy and the perpetuality of energy and the process of chemical reactions that would explain it on a scientific level, but I'm not saying that there isn't something there that caused us to be here. But I want to show you this buzzard here out by the trestle, and I want you to look down beneath where the buzzard sits. So I took our children and I showed them this big pile. And one of them said, Father, that looks like the world that you see on a planet in the schoolroom, or as you see it from a picture on the TV from outer space. I said, that's just it. And I said, who put it there? A buzzard. Now, I know Scientology, we work for human rights, they say we came from another planet, higher developed planet, and that we got lost. And that we are finally going to get ourselves back to that planet. But if that planet's so highly evolved, I say it should come down here and do something about this mess. Anybody's got power and won't use it with the kind of suffering I see every day coming through here and the pain, not to mention the animal pain. As Brother Iams told you, the little broken dogs that I healed and got up and run away healed, but how many I don't see. Because if you come to me, I have the most unusual power I know of. Most unusual power when people don't die, when people, not one of our people that have had a stroke that has not been healed. Again, think on that. I've disturbed some of your religious minds. How many in this room had a stroke and I healed you? How many had cancer and I healed you? How many have seen me raise the dead, not once but hundreds of times? Kidney and bladder trouble and I healed it. How many have I given a prophecy to that saved you and your loved ones, not once but hundreds of times? How many in this room today, and there are many downstairs, have been raised from the dead? Remember the socialist spirit of nonviolence. Have been raised from the dead some three times. Stand up, look at them. Balcony, here, in the choir, raised from the dead. This lady was dead for 3 hours. Right there. You know, in the church she used to go, she couldn't go to a black church because they made fun of her because she has a little scar on her face. They told her she wasn't welcome, didn't make her feel welcome. I wouldn't even notice the little scar. She's so beautiful. She takes care of one sister night and day. She's so beautiful. You're the most beautiful woman I've ever looked at. You radiate beauty. What I said is hard to bear. And I hope that I will not have to say it. That's why I've said, be careful who you bring. Be careful who you bring. Only one white sister got in this church today. because every white person, 15 of them, said they did not care what happened to black people. If it came to a choice and black people were annihilated, they wouldn't do anything. So there's only one white woman in this church today as a guest, because she's adopted children. And that shows to me that she has love. Anyone who will adopt children instead of bringing babies into the world. That's why I never had any use for the sky god. I adopted 8 children. Children that were brought into earth. I know my wife's need, so we had a child. But I did not wish to do that, because I know how painful life is. It's fraught with pain. That's why I adopted legally 8. And I think anyone in this room that has adopted children is higher than that unknown sky god that you worship. Because Billy Graham and all the preachers say he made people because he was lonely. If I had been up there in the darkness of space, seeing hurricanes and famines that promises to wipe out at least half the human race by the year 2000, nuclear hell that could leave only 20 million alive after 30 minutes if a bomb were to drop in a minute, just this minute. Look out over the hell of hunger, disease, and as my wife who went to a seminar, they're not telling you, whole doctor's conference, bubonic plague is running wild all over every area of the world except China and America and Russia. It's even in places in Europe, in lower Europe, but it's running rampant through Africa, running rampant through Asia. It kills in the most horrible way. You say there's a God sitting up there that's got all power? Then he ought to use it. And if he's all wise and all intelligent, he shouldn't have made a devil that could create this kind of hell. Then if he has created a devil that can make this kind of hell, the devil has now outwon the battle, has been his match. And the devil is the victor, and God is defeated. You used to laugh when they said out there that God was dead. The world is saying it. The colleges are saying that God is dead. We don't have to say it, because there's a Savior in our midst. We know that there's a living hope in our midst. But I hope you'll be more sympathetic for those dear hearts outside that say, God is dead. God is dead. If he ever was alive. That God of the unknown variety is dead. I remember the times that you used to worship that unknown God. You never would do anything for the cause of justice. Some of you that now have adopted children, you never adopted them then. You quote that silly scripture, the poor will be with you always. And it isn't even in the original Bible. Say, well, if children are there, we had a man last night, a very ignorant man, though he was a lawyer, worshiping some guru. Said, well, if the people are starving, they're meant to be because of their karma, their reincarnation. That's what religion does to people. That's why there should be, for a moment, as the good John Birch leader said, he said he wished that everybody for a moment would wake up to what I'd said. Just for a moment, think that there's no God. He said, then maybe we might do something to help ourselves. Otherwise, some of you will sit right here. You say you don't believe in God, but you really do. You substituted your sky god in me. Now, if Father was the sky god, he would eliminate all poverty. I'm amazed that I have as much power as I do with people not paying any attention to me. I'm amazed that every person that's ever had a stroke in all of my churches have been healed, because people don't listen to me, and people, very few of them, know me. But don't you ever insult me by calling me your creator sky god. I am a savior because I save everybody that comes to me. But don't call me your creator sky god. I would rather you call me the devil, because he had the sense to rebel. He had the good sense to rebel. I mean the myth. I love that story, and I wish it were on our walls. But we have so many new guests today, I must relate it again. And I'm tired of speaking. I hope we can get to the place where we can get our crew down to the number and work for freedom and quit trying to have to do this because it's too hard. Because if you think I enjoy speaking, I enjoy it no more than some of you enjoy having to sit here and listen to it. But some people are new and babes in this. Someone met that devil and said, "Why, devil, did you leave heaven? You, the most beautiful angel." So don't bother me with that question. Mark Twain, the greatest writer, who was a great conservative, why would they not let his writings, letters from the earth, free for until he died? 6 years he was dead before they would let him, the people, see his books that show the lies that are in the Bible. Go home and read Mark Twain, Letters from the Earth. Why is it that they hid them from us? People said, "Oh, the Bible is true." Oh, they put all things in there to make you afraid to doubt it. Say, if you take one jot or tittle from it, you'll lose your life. Yet it does not tell the truth, my friend. It does not tell the truth. Said Adam and Eve was the first man and the first woman. And that's why we have women subjected as they are. Man was made carefully, but the woman only was a rib. And the woman started slaving and waiting upon the man immediately. She goes and gets an apple. God meets her and tells her, "Don't go and eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, the day you do, you'll die." The devil said, "Don't listen to that guy." Said he don't want you to eat of that tree, because if you eat of that tree, your eyes will get open and you'll be like him. Well, if she hadn't eaten of the knowledge of tree of good and evil, if you haven't known good, the right or wrong, or what's good or what's evil, you wouldn't be able to be judged. You got to know it's wrong to pick apples. Child shouldn't be spanked if he goes out and picks an apple unless mother's told him that the apple doesn't belong to him. So that was like spanking a child for eating an apple without being told it was wrong to go and pick an apple off of somebody else's apple tree. She would have to eat the apple to get knowledge of right and wrong. Oh, such a stupid story. Such a stupid book. Well, she went and ate the apple. Huh. She went home. Her eyes got opened, all right. They had two children. The devil told the truth. The God lied. Then the story, you don't have to go any further than the first pages of it till it becomes idiotic. Cain kills, God messed up with his angels. He couldn't make perfect angels. So he couldn't even make perfect humans. Because then Cain kills Abel. Hit him with a jawbone or something, whatever. That's not in the book, but I don't want to get silly. Cain kills Abel, his own brother. But then, now we've got the strangest set of circumstances. Adam and Eve are the first two, the only two, only two. Not three. He didn't make three, he made two. Please don't be looking around here, you're getting people distracted. Made only two, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve has two. Now, I'm rather stupid in mathematics, but I know two and two makes four. Then minus one, that got killed with the jawbone of an ass, makes three. So you got Cain and Abel and Eve. Got Cain, Adam and Eve left. Yet the Bible can make people believe anything and they do it. Cain goes over to the land of Nod and gets him a wife. Where in Hades did she come from? And that's only the beginning. The whole book, the New Testament, this is the thing that will lead us back into slavery. It says, "Slaves, obey your masters." It's in the second chapters, the New Testaments. Even the ancestry of Jesus is wrong. That's why you have to have a living oracle. Someone to speak the truth. Speak the truth for yourself. Say, "I know as much truth as you do." Fine, if you do, go home. But you still better come back. Because a group must stand together. It takes group action. Reader's Digest said it. Psychology Today said it. Unless people get together in a group and stand up for each other, they'll be rolled over by the oppressive forces that are taking away liberty. But I don't know anyone else that has raised as many dead people as I have. How many of your loved ones have I gotten out of jail again? How many have loved ones I've gotten out of jail? Unless you can do that, you better stick with the old man up here. Because this old man didn't create you because he was lonely. He found you by that other sucker that created you because he was lonely. And he's been saving you from that mess that that other fella created, and he will continue to save you. Could do what I would love to do for you. I'd give you peace so you'd never have to have any more feeling of this old earth and its pain. Shift yourself. I did not get to the question over there. I'm sorry. What was the question?
From what I observed yesterday morning. What I observed yesterday morning, last evening, I am perfectly willing to remain where I am and win them over for Christ. It was beautiful this morning, Father. We all sat at the breakfast table, and they started singing, "Somewhere, hallelujah, somewhere in glory, you'll find me listening and working for my name." And Father, I am willing. It is not, she is willing. I repent for what I said. I do.
Yes, it's good. I always protect a person's reputation, and that's why I spoke it last night. When I saw the sister, we don't want to impute someone of being crooked. That's a very hard charge to get down, to lay down. And that's good of you to acknowledge that the erroneousness of it. I'm sure you ask her your money like you wish to do, and she'll give you you'll get your money.
Yes, she said she would give it. And Father, one other thing I wanted to mention. She belongs to the interdenominational temple. And after their meetings, they have a banquet. And Father, she had a bucket. Just a minute. She had a bucket this wide of chitlins to carry to her banquet. She had a 3 bags of new beautiful potatoes to carry to her banquet. Mm-hmm. I thought, Father, of the quarts of food our family bring here. It is something to consider. In other words, it is a disgrace.
Well, let's see. Now, if we're going to glorify another interdenominational temple, you find out if that interdenominational temple has a promised land with 27,000 acres, a boat, 12 Greyhound buses, the pastor won't own any car, take any anniversaries or any birthdays, and the pastor doesn't take any pastor's wife's teas, pastor's appreciation. We have lovely temples with housing in. Those that can't pay don't have to pay. Several senior citizen homes, several convalescent homes, a catfish pond filled with catfish in case there's just a depression here. And if there is a dictatorial takeover, we have a place beautifully in the jungles of South America with all the food we ever need, growing even wild, and not to count the food we planted. I'll bet you my life, my eye tooth, that interdenominational church does not have those things. For if it did, I would close this one up and we'd join it.
Their meals. Out of all of that she's donated, still they don't pay for their meals.
Who don't pay for the meal?
The banquet that she asked me to go to her church this morning, and I said, well, I put nothing against my father and my family, and still the banquet, she said, after the meal.
I just told you that no one should supervise your money. Don't call them a crook, though, until you've asked them for the money. Say you want your money back, and you should get your money back, because no one else should supervise $2,000 of your money. That should be your money, and you don't need anybody's supervisor. You're not a person in a zoo.
She said she would give it to me tomorrow.
That's right. Then get it tomorrow. I'm glad she's taking chitlins over to the interdenominational meeting. And I believe she's not a crooked woman. I believe she's a deluded woman to be going to any other church like that when this church is available here. But I don't want people's honesty imputed when it's not so, you know. And it's good of you to talk about dishonesty. But let's first get them, ask them, demand your money back, then find out where you stand. Well, you're not making it very clear, dear. I didn't quite understand that, so I beg your forgiveness.
Granddaughters go to this same interdenominational temple.
Well, what's all about this Chitlins, that interdenominational temple? First place, I ate too many Chitlins when I was young. Chitlins may taste good, but they're bad for the health. And I've never particularly wanted to go back eating the gentility of pork, hog. I've had enough hog marbles to suit me for the rest of my day. So let them eat the hog marbles if they choose. But I think it's appropriate you get up and clear this lady, because that we don't want to put anyone in the bad light of being a crook until they prove they're a crook. Yes, if you... quickly.
Last night you said that you were considering having a...
They've got you off.
Last night, you said that you were considering having a service. I thought I understood you say once a month.
Does yes, for guests. I think the trouble we're running into, if we don't... Of course, we make it clear on the radio. Those that came in, 15 of those people came in by radio. And we make it clear. Now, of course, you bring in someone. That's a matter of different. Be sure you determine their beliefs and their purposes, their practices, and their ideals. Someone first thought one sister wasn't open to all the ideals, so I felt to check it out, and I found that she was, and passed on her coming. I don't let these things go by easily, and I think some people need to thoroughly look into matters, because the entire committee missed on a sister this morning. White sister sitting back there. I can tell she's a very open-minded woman. They missed on her. And I can assure you can understand an ordeal it is for our committee when they meet people who are very nice, apparently, until you come up to the point of adopting a black child, or what would you do if black people were oppressed and put in concentration camps, and they say some stupid thing like they'd pray. We don't feel that that person will do us any good, or we will do them any good. So we let them, we just ask them to return another time and take their name, that we'll let them know of a later meeting. But we're having so many people come, and so many people turned away from the door. We turned away 50-some people today, they said. That's a lot of people to be turned away from a door. So perhaps it's better to have a meeting. But the trouble is that they won't be content with one meeting. What we're going to end up is schizophrenic. We'll have one meeting for the guest, and that'll continue for the rest of the life. And we'll have another meeting for the family, which we give total protection. I'm really in a dilemma as to what we're going to do about that. Because you see, this church guarantees we provide for our people from the cradle to the great beyond. The promised land's 27,000 acres. We have a boat, a beautiful boat. We have tractors and backhoes and bulldozers and gardens and fields and commune, lovely houses and apartments, individual houses too. We don't make everyone live in one barn. We're not that kind of communalist. But what are you going to do with these people who start coming to church just for the loaves and fishes? And we cannot offer them the same thing that we offer the rest, because they won't have the same understanding, won't be willing to give of themselves as much as the others who are involved in this family. I don't know what we're going to do. I think sometimes we ought to stop radio and all the whole thing, because they won't pay any attention. The radio clearly says before coming right that our seats are filled to right so that we can let you know when to come. But folk won't pay any attention to it and still come. But it's up to you. I'd be willing, if we want to set aside, say the last, but we have such a problem, you see. It'd probably have to be the last Friday of a month. And then that last Friday sometime, I'll be in Los Angeles. How are we going to set it up? It's really difficult. How would we set up one day a month for people here? Because I alternate. Now, like Wednesday, I'll be in Redwood Valley. Friday, I'll be here. Saturday and Sunday, I'll be in our beautiful Los Angeles temple and apartments. What would we do? How would we announce that there'd be a meeting here? Or one meeting in Los Angeles? Because you can't know when those weekends are going to fall. Anybody got a solution to it? You bring up a very good point. We ought to do it. I don't like to turn people away, but I certainly don't like to bring somebody in like we had the other day who turned people into the CIA. That's now on Kissinger, and all of this dirt has been brought out about how they murdered Chileans with our tax money. And the woman knew it when she brought her. She said, "Oh, I forgot it." You ought to know who you're bringing to church. Because she was mean. She set on us with hell and fury on Thursday night. Meanness was all over her. Sister Jeffrey sat next to her. You could feel the rancor in her. So I think we ought to resolve it. We'll go back to shorter meetings next Sunday. We ought to resolve this. Because I wouldn't have to teach all this long sermon. But there's some good people here. Nice young couple over there didn't understand when they came in, but I can see they understand me. They may not accept everything I stand for. That's not what I'm up to. I want us to understand that we've all got one thing in common, the need to fight for freedom and defend liberty. And if we had a service, we could take people apart, and then we'd see how the people reacted during that service. And we could invite people then into other main services and up in our valley, beautiful projects and our senior homes, and let them see what we've done through cooperative, nonviolent, true apostolic socialism as an alternative to totalitarian fascism or communism. I think it's a good idea, but what are we going to do to be able to set that one day a month? How do you do it? Anybody got an idea?
Well, I'll think on it. I didn't understand you to say that. I understood you to say that you were only going to have one service per month, and that was for everybody. And I was thinking, how could I make it?
No. We would go on, but our meetings would not have to be so long. See, I got out before the Promised Land at 2 o'clock, 2:30, 2 o'clock. But when you have 20, 30 new people, and they're decent people, if you're kind, you're going to give them an opportunity to hear your point of view. If you're kind. Because all they come in here, and the first thing some people say, and I don't know if it's wise, I don't know why you don't say, this is the Savior, the Savior's with us. Mother Eternal will watch it very carefully, and I know others say, God is with us. You have to know that God is here. But she doesn't say, Jim Jones is God. But some of you, invariably, you'll stand up and say, Jim Jones is Almighty God. Then you create a whole afternoon's work for me. Because I sure don't want to be that almighty God that everybody's worshipped. I'd be ashamed to be called that almighty sky God. Because he is, as I said, I have long since put out a warrant for his arrest, charging him with murder, abandonment of his children, abandonment of his people, desertion, torture, cruelty, inhuman treatment beyond description. So I would not want to be called that. But sure as the world, somebody hits me at the door. You can't wait for me to get the truth out. Why don't you tell the works that I do? Why don't you tell the blessings that I give? But all up and down the town, then some of you, the worst ones to tell it, are people that can't get along with their neighbor. I'm not talking about people each up here. I'm talking about some of you that tell it out in the streets. You don't get along with a neighbor. You're calling the police on your neighbor. You don't speak to your neighbor. Then you tell your neighbor that your pastor is God. And very good thing, you better live better than some people do. We had one of our lovely sisters that runs one of our beautiful homes for senior citizens, and she takes care of them well. But a white neighbor, she's white too, white sister that runs the home. White neighbor's dog was giving her some trouble in her flowers. She called the dog pound on the neighbor's dog. With all the work I've done to take care of little animals and the shelter, and the dog pound's so cruel to them, they throw them in a vat, they'll stack them in till they're packed into the poor little creatures can't even move, and they'll put in those gas vats 20 and 30 dogs where it's only meant for two. Or they'll put them out and shove monoxide on them, and they won't be, they'll be half dead. Now people have brought them in and nursed them back to health. Throw cold water and freeze them to death. And a member of mine would turn anyone over to a dog pound? The most insensitive people I know are those dog pound workers. You couldn't have any feeling to do what they do. People say they got to make a living. Well, the German capos said the same. The Jewish capos, those that led the people into the concentration camps, they said, we had to make a living. I don't buy that. By God, I'd rather starve than make a living at the expense of somebody suffering or someone being hurt or something being tortured. My life is not that important. I refuse to be a dog catcher. That's too bad. I know I've got one relative of a dog catcher. I'm going to lose another member, but that'll be one more seat we can give to somebody else. I would quit, go on welfare. As much as I don't like bureaucracy and government, I would not be a welfare. I would not be a dog catcher, taking those poor, innocent little animals. That's another reason why do you believe in anything. These poor little things are the most loyal creatures on earth. Dogs love you, and people just treat them so terribly. The word's well said. They treat them like a dog. Don't feed them, beat them. It's awful, awful, awful. So I wish you people would say, Jim Jones has adopted 8 children. Jim Jones helps everybody that comes to him. Jim Jones has never turned an older person away. He gives them a home, whether they have money or not. Jim Jones has never turned a little animal away even. Jim Jones has done this, that, or the other. Jim Jones healed me when doctors said I could not live. But you don't have to say he's God. I'll tell you, when you do that outside and cast those pearls outside, you are on an ego trip. You're like a little child that used to play with a couple of toys. I got a better bicycle than you. And you're trying to hurt people. And there are a lot of good people out there today that are in the churches of this town that don't like these preachers, that know that they're living a lie, saying Jesus is coming soon and having anniversaries planned from one year to the next, having to have Cadillacs and tailored clothes. They won't dress like me. They sure won't dress in used clothes and holy shoes. They won't dress like that. And there's a lot of people that would come here, but you have scared them away because you don't live the life, you don't show concern, and the first thing you say to them, he's God. If somebody would come up to me on the street and say, there's a man over there that's God, I'd think they were kooky. But after a while, if I saw a good neighbor that helped people out and took the stranger in and was neighborly to help in every emergency and kind and gracious and smiling and friendly and helpful, I wouldn't care if they believed the totem pole was God. I'd go look to see what they had. Why do you suppose Jesus said, go tell no man? He said, I'm the only God there is. But he said, go tell no man. Why do you suppose he said it? Because he knew that that wasn't the way, even in his understanding. And he said, this is a greater day than his. He said, after he went away, these things shall you do, and greater. He said, everybody after him would be greater. But he had more sense than that. Well, I know I've really made some people angry. I can tell, you can always tell by the quiet, quiet manner that's in the congregation. Listen, I want to tell you the fact. I don't want you to tell anyone else that I'm a Savior. I'm working night and day, sleeping no time. Ask the people. When I lay down on a Davenport or bed or floor, it's dawn. Emergencies of every variety. I was with Tim Stone on 3 calls this morning, helping somebody's life out of misery. The assistant district attorney that's a member of our church. I don't want to be God to anybody else. Do you understand? I've got enough children. Don't make me God to anybody else. And all God meant was, Jesus said, when they took him away to crucify him, he said, ye all are gods. He said, why do you stone me? He didn't know why. He said, why do you do it? For what good work? He said, none, because you being a man make yourself God. He said, it's written, ye all are gods. Gods, humanism, the highest developed refinement in the superego, the most conscious love, that is God. God means good. We want people to recognize that they are God. And quit worshiping the sky, because the rich, the oppressors, the international bankers will use that to tell you to quit working against injustice, because by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home. And you know, as Mark Twain said, people are always talking about going up there and singing 10,000 years. Amazing grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise. Mark Twain said, now let me tell you, you can't get a man in church, he's uncomfortable after 20 minutes, and he's going to stand up there and sing Amazing Grace for 10,000 years. Said, that's a lie, and you know it. But we go on with that nonsense, you know, and so we must terminate someplace. I do hope I have an understanding how many will tell the works. There's a key to life, 20 a day, but how many will tell the works instead of who you think I am? Tell the works. Show the fruits in your own life. But then I'm going to ask you, if you're a gossip and a troublemaker and a grouch, don't tell anything. If you don't pay your bills and don't keep your word, you lie faster than a horse can trot, just keep your mouth shut. Tell him President Nixon is God. No, I feel even compassion for that poor man, because I think we got a pig in a poke. It made us think we got some help, and we're in more trouble than we were. Mr. Rockefeller is even more trouble than Mr. Nixon. I told you he'd be coming on the scene, and you're in more trouble with Mr. Rockefeller than you are with Mr. Nixon. I don't take any pride that the man is going to die a defeated, demoralized man. It's a powerful, powerful monetary interest and conspiracy that can cause a man with the power that he had to be put out of office. Awful powerful. So I don't take any delight in it. I'm sorry that he's going through the hell he's going through. But that's the world. No one else has any question about anything I preached? We understand it? By the way, how many feel we should have closed meetings? How many feel we should not have? This is democracy. You have a right to express yourself. Well, we have an agnostic and a believer speaking. One who believes I'm Almighty God, one who's an agnostic socialist, and a conservative over here. So we ought to hear from the three of you. Grace, Sister Cox, and this good Brother Rankin, we ought to hear from you. You don't believe in church, and so if you can say you think we ought to have closed meetings, we sure ought to hear from you. Because he don't believe in church. Yes.
Father, I was saying that it all, remember, we got it all the churches. If we all get together like I did in the 30s, and where they know, you know, I didn't know what I know now, I think we can really get the program over. If every member in each block get together and start thinking and start doing, and give up some of the things they have at home, TVs and things and phones and things, I think that we will get the job done, Father, and you won't have to do that extra job, because that extra job calls for extra people coming there unnecessarily. Maybe I'm saying wrong, but if I am, you can straighten me out.
Well, this is a hall of democracy. Where the spirit of our God is the liberty.
Amen.
So you have a right to speak your expression, and you're a tremendous woman of faith. This woman was dead. The doctors gave her no hope. Her heart had been stopped for 3 hours, the right lateral side of it. But I told her she would live.
Right.
More than that, they wouldn't take her in the hospital because of the color of her skin in Chicago till I promised to pay, and did.
Right.
First day's bill was $1,000.81. $1,081 and some cents. And I sent Sister Jones. That's why you ought to stand by that woman. She took all of her vacation days to stay with her till she got her on that plane and brought her back, see her back home safe and sound. And you don't stand with her. When Sister Jones is in this congregation, when she gave her vacation days to stand with her and was proud to do it because you're a beautiful soul. But I tell you, it is disgraceful when you don't stand behind her, because she's a wonderful mother to you. Yes.
Father, they probably don't understand what I mean, but I mean get out and work. When you see something,
I know what you mean done. Because you've done it.
The people here don't understand what I'm saying, but perhaps maybe you can explain it better than I can. And also, I did the same thing in Boston, Massachusetts. We set the whole, during the wartime, we was in the laundry, and that's a slave slaughter. You know that what that is. We shut the whole laundry down because we all got together. Those didn't get together, brother. We got them on the end. We won. And I mean, where the big shots was there, paying out the money, and didn't want to pay us any money, and we should put all the linen in the machines and shut the machines down and let them cook them up. So they had to still pay us and plus buy more linen.
She fought unjust practices in the welfare department and got it changed firsthand without education. She can't read nor write. That's what it takes. They're creeping over this land, taxing the small business out of existence. OSHA, its laws, till a small businessman can't exist. A small property owner said on the TV this morning, in another year, it will be impossible for a young couple to buy a property. And yet Reagan gets by and leaders get by without paying their income taxes. People go to jail for 3 years, like we have 15 years, this man last evening, for unjust crime, for taking some food. And then Mr. Nixon robs the entire treasury, the United States Department, using it for dirty tricks, even to bring down Mrs. Hunt's plane in Chicago. It was brought out by that man that left the CIA and told all. And all those people were murdered while the treasure agents went through the plane and the CIA agents went through the plane. They were burning and they didn't try to get them out. They just wanted to get the papers that she had. All that money, every bank, you might say he robbed every bank in America and then gets pardoned. It is time the little people got together. Yes, now I do wish to hear, and this is so long, but I do wish to hear the opposition, the three opposed to closing our meetings. Sister Cox. Wait.
I felt that there's too many younger people out in the streets and senior citizens are looking for what we have. If we close it, then what do they have? I mean, you know, how are they going to find it if we close it?
I concur wholeheartedly, but if someone comes in here before we get ourselves together and in the place of refuge, because really I hear both the conservatives saying, I know that both conservatives, as being a personal friend of the rancher next to us, Mr. Heddy, who's a secretary of the John Birch Society, and I know the conservatives, Independent Action, and I know the, you know, the nonviolent left all say that we're going to have concentration camps and all this bugging system, as you heard our head of our Justice Commission that goes in the courts when they set people beside us when we defend someone's rights with a radio on them, a transmitter on them in their socks. We are having, with all the police agents, and I don't mean police in a negative word, because we believe in law and order, but law and order for everyone. Law and order in the streets and law and order in the suites. But I'm tired of hearing all this talk about law and order in the streets without any law and order up there in the Washington suites. But anyhow, you're taking a great chance to speak your liberty in this assembly, in front of people, in this age, if you wish to get to the promised land and be ready for the time when America is prepared to resist totalitarianism. Be sure that you come to this film. By the way, they have it announced someplace, Big Brother. I don't know where I put it. Yes, thank you. Movie 1984. There'll be a banquet dinner for Jonestown. The president of that free country has named it Jonestown, as you know. The menu will be baked or barbecue hams, wild rice, green beans, peas and carrots, fresh tossed salad, jello fruit salad, varieties of cakes of all sorts, peach cobbler, and various punch and non-caffeine coffees. These tickets will go to help Brother Imes, who's standing to my right, to get the equipment to build our agricultural community, who's one of the, he was a pioneer and coordinator of the Promised Land. That will be, what date is that? Is the date set? November 1st. So be sure to get tickets, will you? There are different tickets for children. Children's tickets are only 77 cents. So help the cause with that. Now that is my thinking, but your thinking's right, love. Yesterday I found a poor lad on the streets, and I gave him some food, and he was helpless, homeless, despaired, but so paranoid. He said, "Why are you helping me?" I said, "Young man, I'm a minister." He said, "I don't believe anybody helps anybody without a reason." I said, "Well, just come to the church door, or call even some of our professional people." And I gave him the name of Assistant District Attorney, gave him Reverend Imes and Reverend Purefoy's name here, said, "You can call them." He did not call, and yet I know he's near death. He was so far out on drugs, he's near death. I don't know. It is true that this is the only refuge. We've gotten all of our young people off of drugs. Government federal program, before he was dismissed, said the Van Dusen said that it was the greatest drug rehabilitation program in America. So you bring a good point. And the opposition has spoken, one of them. Now let's hear the next one that's opposed to closing the meetings.
Father, the reason I didn't vote, I know in our business meetings we shouldn't have no guests or nobody in our business meetings. But I didn't vote because I know that the house of God looked like people could come to church sometime. But I don't invite nobody, white or colored. I don't invite them here. But I just speak about the work that you do, the good works. But that's all. But I don't tell nobody to come here. And this, I'll get this out while I'm here saying this.
Well, if you just, you made a good point there, dear. If you would just stick it to that, and you made a very good point.
Yeah.
That the house should be open, if it's a church, open to people, all people.
That's right.
And that is the truth. Maybe we should consider changing it from a church, but that's very difficult and very dangerous, in that if we change it to church, we will not have be able to utilize what we now have. Many churches do close their doors, however, to people. The Mormons have a very definite practice that blacks cannot even enter their temple or become members of the priesthood. We do not discriminate based on color. As many people of one race as another are turned away here and asked to come back at another time and are given later invitations if they are unprejudiced. We do not invite prejudiced people back.
No,
if they openly admit they have prejudice. But it is a problem that's represented, that we are, being a church, having to close the doors. We didn't used to do that. But we've had people come in and plant bombs. We've had people come in and try to do physical harm. We had the man that came in with the submachine gun, if I hadn't had a revelation. And we've never used violence against them until that time. We did give him a good shellacking. And I think, in spite of it, I think Jesus must have had something when he throwed the money changers out, because when we haven't had nobody come back in with a gun since we gave him a good shellacking. And the custodian wasn't even a member of our church in white, and he said, "Give it to him more." So, I think there comes a time when you've got to speak to people that want to do harm. If he'd have shot that gun through this church, it'd have been 25 people, at least, that had gotten a bullet in them, because it was an automatic weapon that would have fired 25 times.
I'm not against that. That's right. I know you're right. Whatever you say is right. But this one thing I want to say before I sit down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thanking you for the people, temple people, all of them in here, and all of them that work with me, and all of them that helped me, because I couldn't make it by myself, the journey by myself. And you don't tell me what to say, sister. Tell me. I'm just tired of people trying to tell me what to say.
If God can't tell her what to say, then you know you won't be able to.
Just leave me alone. I thank you for what you blesses me with. But it's the people's temple that gives me this money. And it's the people's temple that helped me bag up this money, ask for this money. The other time I turned in more, but I thank you to turn in $50 today. on Gleaners, the Gleaners. I took up this project because I'm not able to work. I'm not able to cook and sell and do like some doing, but I took this up to try to help the cause. And you really blesses me with it. Because just Sunday before last, I turned you 74, but this day I'm turning you 50. And I thank you for it. Now, I ain't doing this to be seen, but I want the people to know that the money they're giving me, that I am turning it in.
The...